All right. We got two more on the seven of consolation. So let's go to Isaiah 60. The farther we go in Isaiah, Isaiah is one of the most, to me, the most important books of the Bible, because it takes you from your point of conversion to understanding what the New Jerusalem is. And describing it, and so this is like a panoramic view of all of time and space. I mean, the idea that your salvation comes, and then all of that stuff goes on, and then finally at the end, the last few chapters about the new Jerusalem. So, what? Your music?
I'm just listening.
Huh?
I'm trying to figure out what you're saying. I don't hear it yet. You haven't said anything yet.
Do you understand what it means to go from the beginning to the state of the New Jerusalem? That's what the lot of all of us is. You know, Isaiah is the only one that in one book covers that entire panorama.
Okay.
And this, what we're studying this morning, is entering into that. And that's why it's one of the seven of consolation. And I didn't have this thing on. Oh, you said it. All right. But I don't want to read, because until I get my new glasses, I'm not going to read anymore. So, Gary, if you read loud enough.
I don't think I read loud enough.
Because the machine is way over here.
All right. I'll read loud. What?
Isaiah 60. We're going to read the whole chapter.
Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
Now, let's stop there a minute. That's incredible. Now, the question is, has the glory of the Lord risen upon thee? And that's...
That's declarative. That's a declarative statement.
Yeah, I know, but it's the beginning of the end. It's not. That's not true in the whole... You understand? You can't go and take a scripture out of context and apply it to you. It has to be seen in the overall. Right.
For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising.
Now, that's the revelation of Christ, right? In that one verse.
That's amazing, isn't it? They straight up mention the Gentiles. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebooth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as a dove to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee.
Okay. In his wrath, he smote thee. And what does that mean to you? We don't like to think about scriptures like that.
You know what, that the love of God is so perfect and so giving that I suspect the rejection of that love would cause him to be wrathful, but not for his own sake, for your sake. So the wrath of God is not because he's just a mad guy, but it's that you are missing out on the greatest thing that could ever happen.
Yeah, and that's all true, but in this case, I think it also includes the human race in itself, not just believers. So the wrath of God has smote thee. But why smote? Well, because first there must be the fear of the Lord, and then the fear of the Lord produces salvation.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought.
Now, there are strict rules about the gates of the temple it was, but now in the New Jerusalem, it's not dependent on time anymore, so the gates are continually open. And I can't tell you enough or teach enough about this, the mystery of the New Jerusalem. It's talked about a few times in the Old Testament. It calls the New Jerusalem, and and the reason it's so hard to see is that we can't understand how we have no capacity in our minds to see anything that's timeless. And it's critical to, what was that?
No. It's Angie's birthday, and the Bunker clan starts this process. Everybody in my family has to wish whoever's birthday it is happy birthday. So this is going to ring all day long.
So we're going to have a lot of rings this morning.
All, yeah, I can tell
you. You could put it on vibrate.
Put it on explode. This thing about the New Jerusalem is, I pray that each of you just at least get a glimpse of it. Because if you've just had a glimpse of it, or just a stick your head in for a minute, you'll never be the same.
I said that's pretty cool. I was thinking about when you talked about when you first believed and the feeling you had that there was total light, total warmth. When you said stick your head in just a minute and be changed forever.
Yeah, you cannot. And this is the instrument he uses to bring us to repentance. At least that's what he used for me. The repentance was for just me being me. And that's what happened in the conversion experience. He allowed me to put my head in. And the reason he did was even before my conversion experience, there was nothing in the world that I wanted to do. It was everything. No place I wanted to go, no plans, no great ideas, folders, nothing. And that's the state of poverty. That's what the word poor means. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. And I was so hard-headed, I couldn't have even heard it unless this experience had happened where I stuck my head in, or he let me see inside for just a minute. It was more than a minute, but I don't know how long it was. And that's why I went in that position. That's why I sat in the room full of a lot of executives from all the businesses and that they got invited to introduce this new television station. And I was the mayor's representative, and I said some words in the back, and when we first started, and then I went and sat down in the back, and Norman Grubb said those incredible words that just blew me away. God can't use you unless you fail. Now, it's not just that you fail, it's that you fail and don't want to do anything else. You don't want to fix it. Am I communicating? And so then you see there's no more, nothing in the world system that you have has any. There's nothing that you want. There's nothing that you desire. And that really is what he gives you, the desire of your heart. That's the desire of your heart, not some crap that you get or don't get around here. I mean, that's okay for kindergarten. Anyway, am I making any sense with this?
Makes me think of how the fallen creature wants success, wants this, even.
Without
dying.
This is the whole.
Without dying.
Yeah. That's all. That's my problem with really modern Christianity is that they're teaching with their understanding of all these promises, but they're teaching it in time and space. And so they're all the stuff that God is trying to get you for you to get rid of. They're all preaching it, and that's why the prosperity gospel is the fastest growing. It's not, I don't know if you'd call it it's a movement, I guess, maybe a bowel movement, but it's the fastest growing movement in Christianity, and it's spread all over the world. And it's okay, I'm sorry. I keep interrupting.
Okay, I think we're at 12. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious.
Do you understand that? The reason Lebanon is here is that the wood that was used inside the temple came from Lebanon, and it was it's what's that tree, those trees in front of
cedars.
So it's the cedars of Lebanon that they used inside the temple. But the cedars of Lebanon aren't like the cedars like here. The cedars of Lebanon are more like, what are those trees that you drive cars through? And huh?
Redwoods.
Yeah, the redwoods. And there's even a resort called the Cedars of Lebanon, and it's in Lebanon. I mean, it's in the valley after you go to I don't even like to say this word, where in Beirut, it's on the seashore, and then very quickly it goes up, and then on that valley, which is not all the way back down to sea level, but in that valley are these cedars of Lebanon. And that's where the question is, why did God want to get cedar or get the temple from another place instead of Lebanon? Well, first of all, Israel didn't have any trees like that. But it still, it has something to do with us as Gentiles, that we are part of the building and we are part of the inheritance of that. So anyway.
But isn't that kind of the same thing as why did God want Ruth in the line of Christ and why did want Rahab the harlot in the line? I mean, those are all symbols.
Yeah.
You just gotta figure out what it means.
Right. All right.
The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. They shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel.
Amen.
Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations.
Again, this is why it's said so often that you will be hated of all men. And so, but then, when those that see finally that and accept the salvation, then that promise is fulfilled right there.
Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles and shall suck the breasts of kings.
I don't even like that idea.
You got some revelation on that
one? No.
And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob.
I lost my place. Where are you?
I'm on 16. Number 17 now.
Oh, no wonder I lost it. Okay. It gets worse here in a minute, I think.
For brass, I will bring gold, and for iron, I will bring silver, and for wood, brass, and for stones, iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thy exactors righteousness.
Now, think about that one. I will make thy officers peace, and thy exactors righteousness. Now, exactors just means the noble people. That people with authority. Anyway, it's showing us in this whole next few things that we're going to read, it's showing us the silliness of you giving any importance to anything in time and space. Because this may happen any second. That's why it just tears me up that what he told to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. But the word born, it's again, should have been translated from the beginning of beginnings. You must be born again and enter the beginning of beginnings. Does that communicate?
Well, that means entering into timelessness, which it's like isn't new, it's just everything that it always has been.
But it doesn't do you any good unless you're born again, unless you see that. Unless you see that you were with him from the beginning. And that's what's so hard for us to even get a taste of. But once you leave time for an instant, then all this makes sense. And then hopefully you'll be given more and more and more of seeing everything from the beginning. I brought unto you fathers because you've been with him from the beginning. Amen.
But if they had translated it any different, it's still been a cliche. It's still been, you must be born again, you know, that people say out in the world, you know, they don't really think about it anymore. If that had been born in the beginning of the beginnings, it would still be the same thing. You have to you have to ask these kind of questions. You can't just hear it and parrot it.
No, I know. You can't gain the promise by just because it's in the Bible. You have to gain the promise so that you are the Bible.
Yeah, the words just can't come out of your mouth. They've got to come from within you.
Right. All right.
This made me think of the gap between life and death, that gulf that can't be connected.
We can't go back and forth. The only one that did that was Jesus.
Yeah, and there's a reason it's that way. It's been the bane of man forever. You can't communicate with dead or whatever. And God's trying to say something there. It's so different on the other side. You don't even need to see it. It would help you.
There's a series of programs on the History Channel, and it's Ancient Aliens. And so these guys, I watch it every once in a while, but they're saying that everything has a condition to it, and it's so sad. This is why no one can enter the inner chamber of the Great Pyramid. Well, that's not true, but it proves something they're trying to say that proves there are aliens. And it goes on and on. Just ridiculous. And if there are any quote-unquote aliens that are seen, they found there's several places around the world where they found these ancient, humongous beings. They're maybe as tall as 12 and 13, 14 foot tall. But of course, if that's anything, it's not the aliens. It is aliens in one sense. It's the when Israel got in more trouble, or when the world got in more trouble, and they mixed with the angels, or when they desired the angels. I want to throw that. All right.
While you're talking about this, I realize why this takes place with these people. It's like everybody has a desire to find something mysterious and greater than themselves to worship. But they can't worship God. They'll find an alien or something that's unknown and go after that. And it's mysterious still. And if it never got totally uncovered and realized, it would lose its attraction.
All right. If you ever get a chance, just watch it sometime. If you see it, it's some days it's on all day on it. I think of the History Channel.
Okay.
All right.
Let me go back and do 19.
Yeah, 19 is a good one.
The sun shall be no more.
No. Go ahead and read the 18 again.
18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call the walls salvation and thy gates praise.
Now just think about that. Thy walls are salvation and the gates are praise. We'll talk about that some other time. If I get into that one, we'll never get done.
The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee as an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous, they shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time.
Amen. Well, again, these are that's the sixth. It's true. That's the sixth. We have one more. Oh. We have one more of the seventh constellation. Is all this of interest? Is it? And how much do you go into this when you went through the 3-year cycle?
We typically read this regardless of whether we're going through the 3-year
cycle. Oh, good, good. Okay.
The seventh constellation.
Okay.
And so we have gone through, but it's always great to go through them again.
All right. Well, pray for JW that he gets here safely. I don't even know why these words are coming out of my mouth, but pray for Lisa for some reason.
Driving
boat
with you.
Huh?
Driving boat with you.
No. I'm fine. All right, will you pray, Gary?
Yeah, Father, we open ourselves to you at this time, maybe in a special way, to ask your favor be bestowed upon us that we might see these mysteries that you so generously have opened up to us, penetrate our hearts, minds, and our souls, cause us to see. We thank you for this, and we ask your favor be upon JW and Lisa today. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Take it big guy.
Yes, I should be available after lunch to
Oh.
JW Lowe.